How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I would be happy to have you, unless you're calling to complain that I don't think the CIA was responsible for the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. You spare me your lunacy. I'm sorry. You know, the one guy who approached me at the Brave Stadium last night was the framing of the FBI and the CIA. That's actually, I disagree with it to a degree, but it makes more sense. But the whole idea that they would try to assassinate Donald Trump, I'm sorry. There are better ways to do it than with the mulleted 20-year-old. In any event, I must move on. Before I do, though, because it's relevant to what I want to talk about, I want to take Billy, who's been waiting on hold for quite a while. Billy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Eric, so I'm doing well. How are you today?
Great.
So, quick question for you. They keep talking about Shapiro from Pennsylvania and that wins on so many votes there. My thought with it is, and I hadn't heard anybody talk about it, is as many votes as it wins in Pennsylvania and maybe even flips the state, it loses that many in Dearborn.
I actually think, yes, maybe. He would definitely lose votes in Dearborn. In fact, some of the loudest anti-Semitic voices in and out of Congress have been tweeting that he would be a mistake. They don't want to say it's because he's a Jew. They're just saying he would be a mistake to be Kamala Harris's running mate. It would lose votes in Michigan, but here's the problem for that is, while you're right, he would lose votes in Dearborn. Pennsylvania has 19 electoral college votes. So you take Eric, those electoral college votes, I think that they would prefer those.
You know, I 100% agree with you on the CIA didn't do it, but they did try to blow up Fidel with a cock show one time when he was.
Yeah, they did. So. Yeah, they got better, though, over time. They did. You know, it is remarkable. Have you ever been to the Spy Museum in D.C.?
I have, but I was middle school, so it's been a little while.
So what's so cool is they actually go through, there's a whole section there, at least there was for one time, on assassinations. One of the things you note is that, I mean, it got better over time from conch shells to actually, like, legitimately being able to take people out. And then there's this wild, you'll note that sometime about the 1990s, it's like, we don't cover any of the CIA assassination efforts after that. It's just, we keep them all in, like, the past history. It's very funny that the museum goes silent in recent memory of those things. But, you know, I still stand by the proposition that if you think the Secret Service or the CIA was in on it, the Secret Service literally protects the man while he sleeps. I'm sure they could have induced a heart attack in the middle of the night without a live studio audience to see it happen. But
Sure. Or maybe
people are going to believe what they want to believe.
How about that?
What's that?
I said maybe an exploding golf ball. How about that?
Yes, maybe that. All right, Billy, we're going to get each other in trouble. I better let you go. To your point, though. On Shapiro, 19 electoral college votes in Pennsylvania, 15 in Michigan. If you take Pennsylvania off the board for Donald Trump, his path to victory gets way harder. If you take Michigan off the board for Donald Trump, his path to victory doesn't really change all that much. So you want to take Pennsylvania off the board. I don't know that she will pick Shapiro. Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, yesterday a report came out that said he had been asked to submit documentation about the vice presidency. About 3 o'clock, right when I was getting off air yesterday, after having reported this yesterday, he came out and denied it and said, nope, wasn't true. I think he would take it. I totally think Shapiro would take it if he wanted to take it. And he would possibly bring Pennsylvania. It would make it tougher for Trump. They would have to pour more resources into Pennsylvania to win it. But obviously with the fracking issues and things like that, Shapiro and Harris, they would have problems. He would be forced to defend her record and her positions. But there's a larger issue. Josh Shapiro is Jewish. I have the television on now in 50 minutes. Benjamin Netanyahu will be addressing the United States Congress. There is a massive protest outside the Congress. Massive protest. Supporters of Hamas. There's a smaller Jewish counter-protest. Netanyahu and the Jewish delegation, the Israeli delegation, I should say, they're staying at the Watergate Hotel this morning. Someone broke into the conference rooms they were supposed to be using to prepare for their day and poured bags of maggots and centipedes all over the table. Maggots and centipedes. These people are anti-Semitic. You need to understand this. This isn't about the war. This isn't about Israel. This isn't about the war in Gaza with Hamas. This is about they hate Jews. They hate Jews. They can cover for it right now and say it's the war, but you got a bunch of anti-Semites. They've been anti-Semitic the whole time, and they hate Jews. They hate Netanyahu. What's so notable and offensive to me is the massive number of Democrats in Congress who are refusing to go to the speech of an ally who is in a time of war, who still has hostages held by the enemy. You don't have to like Netanyahu to appreciate the struggle Israel is in, but the Democrats can't do that. For some reason, Israel is always the only nation where the Democrats hold a double standard. Were it any other country at war to get its citizens back, the Democrats would not boycott the speech. But Netanyahu, they will. That's the problem for Harris picking Josh Shapiro, is the anti-Semitism on the left will rear its head. It's one reason the media is so focused about supposed racism on the right when it comes to Kamala Harris. They would really love to distract from the anti-Semitism that's coming towards Benjamin Netanyahu. Yesterday in Atlanta, two men came to my office. Members of the White Rose Society. They gave me a white rose, not a real white rose, more of a like crystal rose, to thank me for what I have done on behalf of the Jewish people. It's a, well, somewhat private society. It's a group of anonymous Jewish business owners who have traveled the country giving these white roses to people who haven't just stood up for Israel after October 7th, but actually used their platform for the cause. They came up with the name, they were telling me, the very first people to use the White Rose Society were a group of late teen, early 20-something German Christians in World War II. When the Holocaust began to happen, these college students who were Christians began working to save the Jews. All of them were caught and executed by the Nazis. So when this group based in Atlanta wanted to come up with a name, the White Rose Society seemed like a perfect name. We said with the Holocaust, never again. And it turns out a lot of people who said it didn't mean it. It's remarkable to me that Joe Biden, our president, has not mentioned by name the Americans held hostage by Hamas. We have American citizens held by Hamas. If it was any other country, we would be moving heaven and earth to rescue them. But because it's Israel and Hamas, and the president and the Democrats are worried about the anti-Semitic vote in Dearborn, Michigan, a swing state, they won't take action strongly. They won't. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. Kamala Harris won't attend the speech. She's going to meet privately, she claims, with Netanyahu. She's not going to attend the speech. She's the vice president of the United States, the president of the Senate. By tradition, the president of the Senate sits with the Speaker of the House and presides over a joint meeting of Congress, which they're having, and she's not going to be there. Doesn't want to be there with Netanyahu. Joe Biden canceled his meeting with Netanyahu. The Democrats don't like him. They've never liked him. They've never liked him. He keeps winning. They never like him. It really, though, is the unbridled anti-Semitism and hostility. Israel's always held to a different standard of every other country. Israel's the only country where it's told it needs to have a two-state solution to solve its problems, and the other state would just happen to be a terrorist hotbed. So Israel needs to grant sovereignty of land to a group of people who pledge to exterminate the Jews. Only Israel is made to do that. And only Israel can have its prime minister come to Washington and be boycotted by a political party. By a political party. Not just any political party, but the political party that controls the Senate and the White House. Harris would be smart to make Josh Shapiro her vice presidential running mate. In addition to 19 Electoral College votes, Josh Shapiro could probably resolve some of the fears Jewish voters have about voting Democrat. But honestly, that makes me wonder if she would pick him because of the anti-Semitism. She's married to a Jewish man. Kamala Harris has one of the most anti-Israeli records in the United States Senate when she was there. She's married to a Jewish man. It shouldn't be a hard lift for her to pick Josh Shapiro. But when you have so many progressives out there vocally saying, it better not be him, he's a Jew, I wonder if she'll do it. Again, she would be smart. My suspicion, I have no inside knowledge on this. My suspicion is Harris is probably inclined to go with Roy Cooper. Because Roy Cooper is older. He's in North Carolina. He is the governor of North Carolina. He served as Attorney General of North Carolina as a Democrat when she was the Democratic Attorney General in California. They've had a long time close working relationship. They're comfortable together. They get along well. He could possibly make North Carolina a real swing state. That would give her 16 Electoral College votes. And she still thinks with or without Shapiro, she could win the 19 Electoral College votes in Pennsylvania. That makes sense to me. I don't know how it'll play out, though. But if it's not Josh Shapiro, it is a warning sign about how much anti-Semitism has infested the Democratic Party. If it is Josh Shapiro, it's a tell that she thinks she needs him to win Pennsylvania because of her record, and also that she, unlike Joe Biden, might just stand up to some of these anti-Semites in the Democratic Party who are telling her it better not be him. Make a lot of sense. The other reason Cooper makes sense is because if it is Shapiro, he's young. In 2032, he could run for president if Harris served two terms. If it's Cooper in 2032, he would be too old to run, and that would open up a Democratic Party. There are lots of Democrats who have banked on running for president in 2028. They could put off until 2032, but if it was Shapiro, he would be a threat to them, and they may not work as hard to get Harris across the finish line this year. because they have their own political ambitions to worry about, and she does have to think about that.
Well connected and well respected. It's Eric Erickson live every weekday. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Hello, my friends. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. It's kind of funny. Elon Musk has walked back his pledge of $45 million a month for Donald Trump, saying he's not an occult personality. After it was reported, now he's blaming the Wall Street Journal, even though he and his friends acknowledged that he was going to spend the money. Now he's walking it back. My goodness. Okay, I got to tell you all a funny story. So there's a hotel within walking distance of the Braves Stadium. So I went to the game last night, got rained out, and I was staying at the hotel two nights in a row because I had to be up there yesterday, had to do the audiobook revisions, got the White Rose Society Award, had the game last night. So I got a room to check out today, even though I was going to go home last night. I want to leave my car with valet at the hotel. So I go back after the game. It's 8 o'clock. I get my stuff. Game's rained out. Go downstairs, 8:05. There are half dozen people standing outside. The valet is nowhere to be seen. The valet is gone. Like gone, like doesn't exist anymore. Nobody knows where he is. The poor manager of the hotel comes out, and she's just, I mean, like we're calming her down saying it's not your fault. She was complaining that Marriott had outsourced the valet parking to a company and the hotel doesn't actually oversee it. And well, the guy was gone after about an hour, 50 minutes. Someone gets the passcode to unlock the box and gives me my key. By then, everyone else is gone. People were dropping off their cars, so they were just leaving the keys and going inside. I need my car. So I get my key and go to the valet, get my car to go out of the valet, and the gate doesn't go up. And when I push the button to call the security people to raise the gate, the machine crashes. Blue screen of death and reboots. Do it again. Machine crashes. Blue screen of death. So when it comes up, I notice there's a number I can call. So I call the number, explain the situation. They pass me through the security. They're like, no, you have to call us from the gate in order for us to be able to raise the arm. I was like, I'm calling you from the gate, and it keeps crashing. You pick up, say hello, and the machine reboots. So he says, well, we'll get somebody to come out there and manually raise the gate for you. I wait 15 minutes. No one ever shows up. And then I think, you know what? I got four-wheel drive. I push that four-wheel drive button, and I hop the curb and go down the hill and get onto the road, and off I go. So my apologies if you see tire tracks near the Renaissance and in by the Braves Stadium, but I was trapped in valet parking, and no one could seem to be able to figure out how to get me out of it. It took me an hour and 30 minutes. No, hour 45 minutes to get out of there. My goodness. All right, I got to tell you about Vision Computers, y'all. Vision can get you taken care of with your computer needs. All you need to do is call them, 404-COMPUTE, 404-COMPUTE or visioncomputers.com. If you tell them I sent you, you're going to save even more money. You go to visioncomputers.com, call them at 404-COMPUTE. They can build you a computer, whatever you need. It's going to be better than what you get at the one-size-fits-all big box store, but they really shine in tech support. You can get your answers in 15 seconds or less. They pick up the phone, 15 seconds or less. They tell you how to do whatever you're looking for on your computer. They can do email support. They can do printer support. If your computer's not working, in many cases, they can remote in, and you do not have to have bought a computer from Vision Computers to use them. $179 a year per computer, they can be your tech support solution. If your company can't afford an in-house IT guy, they can do that too. 404-COMPUTE, call them and tell them I sent you. You save even more. 404-COMPUTE or visioncomputers.com.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Chris LaCiveda, who is one of the campaign strategists for Donald Trump now, The operating officer for the RNC has just tweeted out that he has reliable sources informing him Josh Shapiro will be the Democrats' vice presidential pick. It is the smart pick for Kamala Harris, honestly. It does deal with some of the anti-Semitism issues, but also at the outer edges of the anti-Semitic parts of the Democratic Party, it may cause her problems. I don't think she cares, though. She's got a Jewish husband. Having a Jewish running mate as well will neutralize the issues of anti-Semitism, even as she is boycotting Benjamin Netanyahu from his speech in Congress and going out on the campaign trail instead. The phone number here on the Eric Erickson Show, 877-973-7425. Michael, want to go to you next. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I always respect your insight as you've run many campaigns. What do you think about this as a Republican Party campaign ad? So you have a video of Israel being attacked by Hamas October 7th, and then you play a clip of the helicopters lifting out of Afghanistan with people falling off of them. And the audio over that would be Kamala Harris, the Democratic presidential candidate, choosing to talk to a sorority instead of talking to Netanyahu about the Americans left behind in Israel as they were in Afghanistan.
Look, I think that would be a compelling ad. The one caveat I have now is Republicans have not done a good job talking about the Biden-Harris administration for 3 years. They've talked about the Biden administration, even as the Biden White House website says Biden-Harris administration. So they do need to do a better job of tying Kamala Harris to it. The polling I've seen internally from some Republicans that I was briefed on is that a lot of voters don't connect Kamala Harris to those Biden policies, but I think she needs to be. You're right. And I'm sure there are clips of Kamala Harris defending the withdrawal from Afghanistan. I'm sure there are. Related to that, and it's the perfect segue to get into this, there's polling out from Gallup. You know, Gallup has not done a lot of presidential polling since its disastrous 2016 polling, and it's revamped, and it does consistent polling and has since like the 1940s or 50s about the state of American lives. And they do a really good job of it. The way they interview people and conduct these sorts of polls, they're actually, they tend to track very well over time with these. And so they've asked Americans, what is the most important financial problem facing your family today? And they left it open-ended so that people could say something in their own words, and then Gallup would assign it to categories. And they had several that came up, and they noticed a pattern here. What they did is they divided this between lower-income households, that is, they make less than $40,000, middle-income households, they make $40,000 to $100,000, and upper-income households, those making over $100,000. The middle class, the upper-income people, are all above 40%, 46% for the middle class, 41% for upper income, and 31% for lower income people. Inflation. Inflation is their number one problem. But the way the lower income people talk about it, you can see that it also is woven into other concerns as well. So the number two issue is housing costs. Lower income people tend not to own, they tend to rent, and their housing costs are up because of inflation. 15% of them, 31% say inflation, 15% say housing costs, 16% say not enough money to pay off their debts, and 11% healthcare costs. With the middle class, 46% inflation, 17% housing costs, 8% not enough to pay off their debts, and 7% healthcare costs. With upper income, 41% inflation, 12% housing, 5% not enough to pay off debts, and 4% healthcare costs. All pretty much in line. Underneath those, by the way, is lack of money, 7% for lower incomes, 4% middle class. Not really an issue for upper income people. Unemployment or loss of job, 7% lower income, 2% for middle and upper income. And insurance costs, really an issue only for lower income people. But all of these are issues for everybody, particularly inflation and housing costs. And this is an issue to go after Kamala Harris on, frankly. This is an issue that impacts and affects everybody. This is an issue that Republicans can campaign on because the problem are the Democrats. It's not just individually Joe Biden. And it is the Biden-Harris administration, and Kamala Harris has defended their handling of these programs. Kamala Harris has defended the Biden-Harris administration program on inflation. She's defended Joe Biden on the economy. She's on record on this stuff. And her own plans, when she was running for president, actually would have made it worse. Kamala Harris was one of those who embraced modern monetary theory, the economic ideas that provoked inflation. The economy remains a major issue in this campaign. And I got to tell you, I mentioned this yesterday. I've got two friends of mine, the principal and the headmaster at my kid's school. Every year for New Year's and for the 4th of July, they run a fireworks stand together. We go buy lots of fireworks from them every year. We buy lots of fireworks. When I was a kid, I loved to shoot fireworks. And in Louisiana, growing up, you could. In Georgia, when I got to college, you weren't allowed to shoot fireworks. They only changed the law in the last decade. You can buy the big fireworks now. I love to shoot the 5-inch mortars. I prefer to shoot bigger ones, but there are restrictions. You got to have licenses for the really big fireworks. I love to shoot fireworks. I am that guy. But Jeremy and Chris were telling me at their fireworks stand, they had fewer people this year. And the people they had, the regulars, spent less than they normally do. And I'm hearing this all the time. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a restaurateur. And he said prices have gone up and sales have gone down. That the restaurant is doing fine. His restaurant's doing fine. But he's not going to have as much profit this year. And they're being very cautious about their investments in the restaurant. They're being very particular about waste management in the restaurant. He said, we've done additional things anticipating the slowdown. And that's the recurring story here. Is so many people are cutting back because of inflation in particular. Inflation, they have less money to go around, but they're cutting back other things. And I personally believe, and I'm not an economist, but I do have some common sense, that when all of us are cutting back our spending that and prices are going up, that's reducing profit for other businesses, and that's going to have trickle-down effects spread across the economy, that's going to negatively impact the economy, that's going to cause further economic disruption unless we have some real good economic growth and interest rate cuts. And I don't know that we're going to have really, we'll have some, I think, probably September, October interest rate cuts, but how stimulative will that be to the economy? I'm not sure it's going to be as good as it is, and I'm not sure that the claims that we're not headed to a recession or in a recession are real, in large part because of this pattern that's playing out. Time and time again, this pattern is playing out. People are cutting back their money. They're spending. When Gallup comes out and says inflation is still the biggest financial issue, you know what the actual biggest issue is for Americans right now? Still immigration. Immigration's number one and the economy is number two. Still. That hasn't changed in about 9 or 10 months. Inflation and the border, two issues that are ripe for attacking Kamala Harris's record, regardless of who her vice president is. You can go after her on both of those issues. You can go after her on jobs. And these are the things I think that we need to focus on. Her record and the hardship on American people that the Biden-Harris administration, and that's their phrase, Biden-Harris administration, their phrase, they're the ones who did it. They need to be held accountable for that, not just Joe Biden, but Kamala Harris as well. By the way, Benjamin Netanyahu speaking to Congress in about 15 minutes, less than 20 minutes. Joe Biden will address the nation tonight about his withdrawal from the race. It's going to be interesting to see what he says and the staging for it. Does he do it from the Oval Office or not? Does he mention Kamala Harris or not? We will see. Now, I want to jump real quick into Craig's phone call here. Craig, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Good.
So you usually have a pretty good intuition about these kind of things, and you just mentioned Biden's speech tonight, I think he's going to spend most of his time telling us why he endorses Kamala Harris and that kind of stuff. But he's going to have to explain why he came to the decision to drop out. You know, it could be, oh, my family, you know, convinced me and I'm doing this for my family, or it could be any number of other reasons. I don't think it's going to be that he's going to admit that he's cognitively challenged or anything like that. So I'm just curious what your take on it is. How do you think he's going to explain his decision?
So this is why I mentioned the setting. If he's in the Oval Office, I don't know that he will spend the whole time making it a rally speech for Kamala Harris. Even Joe Biden as president tends to refrain from being super partisan when he's from the Oval Office. It's a line that even he and Donald Trump haven't crossed. If he's in the East Room, he probably will turn it into a Harris rally. My suspicion is he's going to defend himself, but also say that after analyzing the race, it appears that too many people in my party don't believe I can go the distance, even though I think I can, and we got to stop Donald Trump. And I'm willing for the good of the country to stop this, and he's going to make it some part of it's good of the country, we got to stop Donald Trump. And that, I think, more than Kamala Harris, I think he's going to make this all about stopping Donald Trump, that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, we got to stop Donald Trump. My party wasn't sure I could do it, and that's how serious it is to stop Donald Trump. That's why we got to go with Kamala Harris. That's my view, is that he's going to make it all about turning tonight's speech from the White House into a speech about how bad Donald Trump would be for America. And it'll be a partisan speech from the White House, where you're not supposed to give those explicitly partisan speeches, and the media won't care because they'll be amening and hallelujahing with him because the media feels the same way. And I do think that that's going to wind up not helping Kamala Harris. And having Joe Biden wrap himself around Kamala Harris like that, I don't know that it helps her very much. In fact, I think the more Republicans go after her record and then uses the mortar for the bricks of her record that she covered up Joe Biden's health and mental decline, that can sink her if they do it well. Now, while all of this is going on, of course, you know, I mentioned the economy and the economic turmoil, and right now I'm looking, the Dow's down 300, the NASDAQ's down over 500, the S&P 500's down 83 points. You got worries about interest rates and when it's coming and all of that sort of stuff, banks collapsing. Swiss America has been the trustless leader in precious metals for 40 years, and they've been warning people about a secret war on cash for some time. You know, the government can track your cash spending and things like that more and more, and banks have to report on you when you withdraw too much or deposit too much, all that. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau, Swiss America can educate you on protecting your assets. In their report, The Secret War on Cash, it takes less than 15 minutes to read. You can get it completely for free. All you do is call or text my name, Eric, to 800-289-2646. The all-out war on cash includes digital forms of currency. It's growing. You can get the Secret War on Cash report, how they track you, how they don't want you to use cash, how they restrict you, all of that. It's in the report. Go read it. Text or call my name to 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646. You can also go to SwissAmerica.com/Eric or just call Swiss America or text Eric to 800-289-2646. Message and data rates may apply.
He's got the courage to tell you the actual truth, even when it isn't popular. It's the Eric Erickson Show. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation. Y'all, great email from listener Brian. Can you explain a little more on how Shapiro wins over voters in Pennsylvania's vice president as the nominee? If Pennsylvania voters are disenfranchised with the state of things in the country, how does Shapiro move the needle? He would be in a position that really has limited influence on policy. I understand the state likes him, but is that enough to make them tolerate Kamala? I guess I'm asking if Pennsylvania would still be in play if he takes the position. Brian, great question. Yes, Pennsylvania would still be in play if Shapiro is the running mate to Kamala Harris. Absolutely, it would be in play. Here's the problem for Republicans, though. It's a money game. You've got three things in a campaign: time, talent, and treasure. You can replace your talent. You can reload your treasure. You can't get back the time. And the clock is ticking with about 100 days. The Trump campaign would have to reprioritize its spending. It's got a limited amount of money and a limited ad space on television to go into Pennsylvania to make a greater play. And the Democrats will have something the Republicans don't have: the incumbent governor of Pennsylvania's ground game that he himself can flip a switch and deploy and use to help Harris. It's one reason the Democrats aren't as aggressively pursuing Georgia. Even though Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, and Donald Trump aren't exactly friends, Kemp has one amazing ground game in the state of Georgia. He can flip a switch and get activists out there paid for by his campaign and super PACs and the party and get people to the polls in ways Democrats in the state of Georgia can't. Same with Shapiro in Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania Republican Party hasn't done a great job in the last number of years. They've gone down the rabbit hole on stolen elections and stuff, and they haven't really rebooted in ways they needed to. And Shapiro has this war chest, and he has this ground game operation in every county in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He, in every county in that Commonwealth, he knows who the voters are who need to turn out in order to win, and he knows the message to get them out. Now, there will be people who will turn on him if he sides with Kamala Harris and becomes her running mate, people who simply don't like her, people who trusted him and thought, well, he seems reasonable. Yes, he's a Democrat, but I think I like him better than the other guy who was kind of a nutter. And so they run with him. And now he's running with Harris. They're like, I don't think I can support him and Harris. So it's still a swing state, and Trump can still win the state, and vice presidential picks oftentimes don't matter that much. But also, he's got an impressive operation in Pennsylvania, and he can pour his resources into turning out his vote for 19 electoral college votes, and that'll force the Trump campaign to reallocate resources and spend money in Pennsylvania they otherwise would not have had to spend. That's why Shapiro is super relevant in this. He forces Donald Trump to spend money that the Trump campaign did not think they would have to spend, and keeps Harris from having to spend money she would otherwise have to spend. I hope that makes sense. He's the smartest pick she could make with 19 electoral college votes, and he comes across as a reasonable guy. That being said, you'll start hearing a lot of people say, yeah, VPs don't matter that much. And I don't know that they do, but in this case, yeah, I think Vance and Shapiro matter. Vance because of Trump's age, frankly, and his legacy play, and Shapiro because he's got 19 electoral college votes in a state that is very much a swing state. Now, I got to tell you guys that Omaha Steaks is headed into their anniversary. Do you all know they are about to be 107 years old? When is the last time you've done business with a company that's 107 years old? Their dependability, their quality of their product, their customer service, that's why they've stayed in business as long as they have. If you go to omahasteaks.com today, use promo code Eric, you're going to save more money than what you're already going to save. Y'all, it is already over 50% off at the site, and they've got a great custom package. You can build your own package from Omaha Steaks right now. You can put in your steaks. You can put in your either chicken or pork. You can put in either their gourmet hot dogs or sausages they themselves make. Pick a dessert. Pick a side. Get it to your door. At checkout, use promo code Eric. You save an additional $10, and it's already 50% off. It's incredible savings, and you get Omaha Steaks 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you're not happy, they're going to make you happy. That's why, by the way, they've been in business 107 years, still going strong, because their customer service and their supply chain for their food is so good, so reliable. You keep coming back for more. Go check them out. OmahaSteaks.com. Use Eric as your promo code at checkout for an additional $10 off.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy and Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.